And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Tiger faithful, come one, come all. We survived. The sun came up in the morning. I mean, we might not have been able to see it behind the clouds, but the sun came up today in the east as it was supposed to, even though our poor Michael Porter Jr.-less Missouri Tigers went on the road last night and laid an egg. A big, awful, horrible egg. Rotten egg at that. It was bad, guys. If you had the Pac-12 network, well, I'm sorry. You got to watch it. If you listened to it, well, sorry you had to listen to it. It was bad. Welcome into the Closers. It's Friday, 1400 KFRU and 1240 KLIK. I'm Jay Sparks. George Young, off on assignment today. Yesterday we heard rumors that he was off on the fashion week thing. He was you know, up and down the runway. They called him in, emergency need for a model, but no idea where he went today. Incognito, status unknown, MIA. He's gone, disappeared without a trace. International man of mystery that he is, George Young. So we will track him down hopefully by Monday and have him back. 442-8255. You tell me. We panic? Are you panicked? Are you upset? Are you worried about this Mizzou basketball team? I mean, this Mizzou team without Michael Porter Jr. has looked really good until last night. Subpar competition. And then you run into a probable tournament team on the road. And you can't take the lid off the basket, man. Can't take the lid off the basket for trying. 442-8255. 4 o'clock hour of the Closers. Thanks for joining us on a Fishing Hole Friday. We are going to go through lots and lots of stuff. We are going to have lots of reaction, obviously, from this basketball game last night. We are also going to be joined on the show today by Jay Binkley from 610 Sports up in Kansas City. He's our Chiefs guy. Chiefs had a bye week. Kareem Hunt might have needed it. The rookie. They talk about the rookie wall. I'll ask Jay about the rookie wall, whether or not that's a real thing for Kareem Hunt and his hot start and his lackadaisical finish before this bye week and all things Chiefs. We also have a football game tomorrow. Mizzou football team has turned a metaphorical corner. They're looking good. They've won 4 games in a row, 2 of those against SEC opponents. But here we go. On the road. SEC on the road. It's a different place. It looks different. It sounds different. It tastes different. I was reading Gary Pinkel's autobiography with co-written by Dave Matter, who's a friend of the show. And he talked about the move to the SEC. He said it looks different, it sounds different, and it tastes different. You get on the road in the SEC, it's just a different animal. So here we go. So we're going to have Brad Ekwu, friend of the show. He's going to join us to talk a little bit more in-depth from the Mizzou side of this football game, this upcoming game tomorrow evening, Vanderbilt. And then in the second hour, we will have Joe Fisher, the Vanderbilt play-by-play. He's going to join us and go over everything and, you know, really, really dial in to Vandy's side of thing as they welcome our Mizzou Tigers. This basketball game, though, I am still perplexed. I, as you know, if you tuned in yesterday, I was here yesterday with Tramell Rags. So I shockingly, without my teleportation devices, I did not make it to Salt Lake City and back in the 22 hours between ending last night's show and the beginning of today's show. So I did not get to go and be a part of the press scrum pre and post and everything else. I went to the women's game. Mizzou women's game was a nail biter. A lot of drama over there at Mizzou Arena last night. The ladies sneak it out, right? State. They sneak out with a victory. Down 10 with about 6 minutes to go. And they come storming back. Some good chess match moves from Coach Robin Pinchton as she and Katrina Merriweather, the coach of Wright State, really, really played a really interesting game of chess out there. Who went to a zone defense first? Why? When? A junk defense. Who were you triangle and twoing? What were you doing out there? And by the end of the game, you had two foul outs on Wright State, and I believe another five players with four fouls. The refs really could have made a huge impact on that game had it gone, had any more whistles blown along the way. And, you know, it was good, though. That's the kind of game. Down 10 to a really strong mid-major opponent at home. That's a barometer moment. That's a teachable moment. Coach Robin Pinchon gets those girls on the sideline and says, hey, does this have your attention now? Are you focused? Because you're going to lose this game. You're down 10 with 6 minutes to go. And this team responded. This team really, really dialed it up and responded. And very proud of the Mizzou women's team. Now this men's team, on the other hand, you're going to have Mama said there's going to be nights like this, right? That's what you know. 442-8255, please chime in with me. Help me out today because I don't know whether to panic. I'm of two minds on this. Most times with George and me here, we kind of sort of know. We both sit down, we both look at each other, and we kind of know. Okay, we're panicking about this. We're not panicking about this. We kind of know. And I think even if George was here today, I'd look at George and I'd say, George, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this Mizzou team. Are you panicked about the way they played? Are you panicked about MPJ and his status? There's several things to be panicked about if you're so inclined. If you've got your Chicken Little hat on and you're ready to go, there's plenty of things to get your Chicken Little on about, but I don't know. Well, we're gonna figure it out. We're gonna work through it together. I'm gonna lay down on this comfortable couch over here, and you guys get out your steno pad, and we're gonna work through this. You guys get to play my armchair and driver's seat psychologist today as I work through this Mizzou basketball team. But first, we're gonna take a little sidelight. We're gonna take a little sorbet. Before digging into more of a main course, a little palate cleanser, we're going to talk a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're right there, they're in the hunt. But if you listen to Talking Heads, if you listen to other sports radio, the national sports radio, if you listen to the Talking Heads on sports TV, Patriots, Steelers, Eagles, Saints, cap it, done. That's it. That is the only teams that matter. Can the Chiefs matter? I think they can, personally. I think the Chiefs are going to matter a bunch before it's all said and done. But they got a long way to go, and it's a long, hard road to hoe. So we're going to come right back, and we're going to join with Jay Binkley from 610 Sports, and that'll be right after this. And welcome back to hour number one of The Closers. I am Jay Sparks, and George Young is out on assignment today. But oftentimes we are joined here Thursdays, Fridays with 610 Radio up in Kansas City's Jay Binkley. He's the man who keeps us up to date and in the know for Kansas City Chiefs stuff. And Jay, how are you doing on this Friday afternoon?
We're doing great, man. Doing great. You know, looking forward to the last seven games for the Chiefs. And you know, not a great, appealing matchup with the Giants, but a win that the Chiefs need nonetheless.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, listen, my listeners down here, we know all about the seeing some struggles on the field and then maybe playing some subpar competition, but that is what gets the needle pointed in the right direction. In the NFL, can you take a needle pointed in the right direction off of a one and something team like the Giants?
And it's hard to say, especially a team reeling as much as the Giants are. You know, they had a meeting this week with the coach and the players where he kind of called them out, not by name, but by showing video of them not doing so well, you know, and kind of calling out the players. You got a few players that, of course, are going to play for pride, but it's a team in a bunch of weird directions. I usually listen to the opponent's audio during the week, what the players are saying about the Chiefs, with the coach, and we do a segment. What are they saying about the Chiefs? And it was hard to find. They'd ask like one little question about the Chiefs, and the rest was talking all about the problems that they have. So, yeah, it's one of those wins with the Chiefs to go out and look good. They're supposed to. They should look good. Well, what you really need is the Chiefs to step up against a team with a lot of physicality to prepare them for the playoffs. But, you know, they'd have to look at these last seven games and say, hey, we need to run the table here. It starts with the Giants. So I think this is a nice confidence booster with this offense and this defense this week against the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, and I think that is important. We're with Jay Binkley from 610 up in Kansas City. This Giants in a 4-3 that is kind of, you know, beastly on paper, on black and white, but they have really, really struggled. The pass defense is bad. The run defense is bad. You know, how does Steve Spagnuolo, you know, go about his daily business with this kind of poor performance on the field week in and week out?
It's a great question. You know, you want to know who's all in, who's not. You know, guys playing with a lot of pride, like a Landon Collins or a Snacks there on the defensive line, are important. But yeah, the Chiefs are going to pose a bunch of problems, especially Travis Kelce. The Giants have really struggled this year, week in and week out with the tight end. So look for Kelce to have a big game. But yeah, the Chiefs pose some problems. It's still a high-powered offense. It needs to get back to the way they were playing the first five games, but it's got to be a struggle for him. He needs some time of possession with the offense of the Giants. He needs Eli Manning to keep the chains. Eli in that offense can help, because the time of possession thing is the thing of the Chiefs. When they've lost games, they've really struggled with, but limit the time of possessions for Alex Smith and the Chiefs offense. That might be the best defensive plan they have.
Yeah, definitely. They need to shorten that game for sure. But on the other side of that, someone who will make it short for the Giants offense is Kareem Hunt. And, you know, rookies often start out strong, though very few as strong as Kareem started out this year in the history of the NFL. But are we seeing a wall? Did the bye come at a good time for a rookie to get his legs, get his breath back in and gear up for another run?
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt. You know, he's been held out of the end zone, hadn't rushed for 100 yards, I believe, in the last four games. But, yeah, I mean, whether he hit the wall or not, that's always a big concern with rookies. Now, you know, if he's still in college at Toledo, he'd still be playing games, but there was the preseason as well and training camp. But, yeah, having that extra week of rest for Kareem Hunt, I think will help. It's also really – it's really hadn't been a total Kareem Hunt problem. It's been a problem with the offensive line and blocking. And I guess the really discouraging thing was everybody except for Parker Anger, who hadn't played at all this year, was back. Lawrence Duvernay-Tardif was back in that game. And, of course, sorry about that. Sounding back. But, no, but Kareem Hunt, yeah, that extra 2 weeks had to help him. Think about this, too, with the Chiefs' schedule. It's actually been a situation where – they've got 12 more days off than any team in the NFL. So if there should be a, because playing on Thursday night, then not playing till the following Monday, but they've actually been able to finagle a way to get 12 extra days off than the rest. But yes, Kareem Hunt's a guy I mean, it's going to be through him. If you're going to get through the postseason, it's Kareem Hunt. When Alex Smith was playing good at the beginning of the year, and he's still not playing bad, it was Kareem Hunt running the ball. How Kareem Hunt goes, I feel that this offense goes. If they're going to be that explosive team with big plays we saw during the season, it's Kareem Hunt. The fact that he hasn't rushed for 100 yards in the last four games should be concerning. I felt he should have rushed for over 100 yards against the Raiders a few weeks ago. He ends up with 87, but heck, he had like 46 yards in the first quarter. I just think the way that the game flow was going, they needed to throw the ball. But it all starts and stops with him on his offense.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Wherever Kareem goes, you know, as this team is looking at this stretch run and gonna go down, you know, they can't get caught looking ahead. I mean, obviously you can't underestimate a one and whatever Giants team, because that's not how the NFL works. Everybody can take everybody out, and so you have to focus. But does Andy Reid and the coaching staff, can they start pitching the big picture spiel a little bit to try to get guys to buy in that this is a stretch run where winning out really puts them in a situation that's about the only way to put them in a really true positive situation at the end of the year?
I think so. You know, this division shouldn't be a problem for the Chiefs to win. It's about getting the Patriots and some Steelers some losses. Their schedules are extremely friendly. Like we look at the Chiefs' schedule being nice down the stretch, that's the Patriots and Steelers stretch as well. But anything can happen. Of course, the Steelers could have lost to the Colts last week, and they weren't sharp. They definitely weren't as good as last night because they scored over 30 points for the first time this season. But the Patriots and the Steelers do have to play each other down the stretch. Of course, the Chiefs have the tiebreaker with the Patriots. They do not with the Steelers. So, yeah, it's about winning out, trying to get yourself that bye week, try to get yourself some home field advantage until the AFC title game, and hope that if Pittsburgh is the one seed and you end up with the two seed, that someone knocks Pittsburgh off and you end up having the AFC title game at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, and Jay, talking to Jay Binkley here from 610 Sports up in Kansas City. Jay, you do sports radio. We do it here. We hear the callers call in about Mizzou, and you get the frustrations, and you get the highs and the lows, and a lot of knee-jerk reactions. But just your general temperature take on the Chiefs, you know, Chiefs kingdom out there, and what they think about you know, the hot start, the struggles lately, and getting ready to go for this stretch run.
They've actually been relatively calm. You know, doing the post game show, even after the Broncos game, which they won, I was, you know, proud of everybody because they understood that even though they won that game, there were still some things to be concerned about, like the run defense. And I think that's been the theme of most callers. They're worried about the run defense. They're, you know, sometimes you make that parallel to 2003 Chiefs that led the NFL on offense. They were 19th in total defense, which is a better defense than this one. But they are concerned about stopping the run. Where's it going to happen? You've got Tom Bali banged up. You got Dee Ford banged up. You got Alan Bailey banged up. They didn't practice all week. We may not even see them Sunday. And, of course, all three of those guys important to this defense, of course, with the pass rush, with Dee Ford and Tom Bali and Alan Bailey, you know, helping and stopping that running game. But that's been the biggest concern. I think of the people have backed off the whole Super Bowl or bust that the attitude was when the team was 5-0 and really the darling of the league. And they realize there's work to be due, especially up front. Stopping the run, running the football, those seem to be the biggest concerns. For once, it's not Alex Smith. For once, it's not Alex Smith being the biggest reason for concern.
Well, you know, you look at this stretch run, and obviously after the Giants game, the Bills game seems to be the biggest circle there on the schedule. And if this Chiefs team, you know, going down the stretch, we talked about Kareem Hunt, you know, how Kareem Hunt goes, so goes the Chiefs. Alex Smith doesn't seem to be the problem, at least from the fans' perspective. But, you know, and getting the ball to Kelce, this defense coming around, is there an X factor still? Is there still somebody on this roster who has one last starburst left in them to maybe, you know, win one of these two or three games, and Eric Berry, like, you know, the 2-point interception return or something like that, you know, maybe we don't talk about enough, but still has a chance to nab one for the Chiefs down the stretch?
I think DeMarcus Robinson is a guy really to watch. He's starting receiver now. He's a guy that they took in last year's draft out of the fourth round of Florida. He's a deep threat home run player. And if you remember the preseason, he had those three catches for 127 yards with Patrick Mahomes when he was the starter. Now, the Chiefs have had a problem developing the number two receiver. Right now, it's been Albert Wilson. He's the second leading receiver as far as receivers. Travis Kelce leads the team in catches, the tight end. But he only has 17. Developing that wide receiver. He is the home run threat that's proven he can get open down the field. Heck, Matt Nagy, Trez Paylor had a great story about it. Matt Nagy talked about, you know, he's found a way to get open. So that is up to Alex Smith to hit him. I do feel with the speed the Chiefs have on the outside, as far as a guy we're not talking about, a guy that could really step up for this team, I feel it's him.
I think the last time I had you on, Jay, we talked a little bit about celebrations, and then the Chiefs went out and they did the sack race right after we talked about that, and we had kind of joked about who would be involved and what would go on if the Chiefs were joining into this celebration. Okay, they did the sack race. We saw the CFL do the limbo. The lid is off. What do you got? What's your request? What's Jay Binkley's request of the Chiefs on touchdown celebrations?
That the linemen get together and they do the Rockettes thing, where they lift the legs and they move to the next. You know what I'm saying? With the Rockettes, what they do?
Yep.
I would love to see 300-pound dudes do the Rockettes. I think it's original. I haven't seen anybody do it yet. We've seen Duck Duck Goose. We've seen all this stuff. I want to see the Rockette dance with the linemen.
Yeah, well, if Kareem goes in on a goal line plunge, it'd be real easy to choreograph that and make it happen. So, Jay Binkley from 610 Sports up in Kansas City. Jay, we're going to let you get along with your Friday evening. Is there still high school football in your future up there, or you wrap it up for the year?
I don't have any more games, but, of course, there are still big games this weekend. Of course, state finals the following week, except for Class 6, which will be the week before Thanksgiving, which I guess is this week.
Yep.
But, still some exciting high school football in the lower classes.
Yep, very much so. Well, Jay Binkley, thank you for your time as always, and we will get you out of here, and we will continue on with our one of the closers right after this.
It's the closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
All right. Welcome back. Hour number one of the closers rolling merrily along. We just got done talking with Jay Binkley from 610 Sports up in Kansas City about the Chiefs and getting ready to start their second half of their season and their stretch run. But the stretch run is in full effect for your Mizzou football Tigers. And as we do on Fridays before Mizzou football games, we are joined by always a Tiger, former football player here at Mizzou, Brad Ekwu. Brad, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, man. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I've always enjoyed our talks about from the player's perspective, a former player's perspective. You know what it's like we've done the lows, and now we've had a chance to talk about some of the highs along the way. When you're a member of a skill group, when you're a wide receiver, when you played, and so you would go to the offensive meetings and then break out into the wide receiver meetings. And you know, it's not that the Mizzou wide receivers now aren't having great success also, but when the team starts to take on a run first, look at us, north, south, and these guys really adapting into these roles and really running behind that offensive line, I know there's no jealousy, but how does your skill group get together and go, you know, we want to make sure, do we lobby the coaches, we make sure that we're still part of the plan and we're still out there?
Oh, yeah, you're darn right, you're lobbying and you're doing that. I think by nature, wide receivers are you know, jealous is the wrong word, but they go out there and put in the same amount of work that everybody else does. And you go all the way back to Keyshawn Johnson, Michael Irvin, Steve Smith, some of the greats out there. It's that whole proverbial throw me the damn ball. I'm open every play, and every good receiver should think the same thing. So in a team sport, especially in the way that the offense has gone this year, I think that what they've realized is that the passing game has to be built on a running game. So you have a little bit of patience from week to week, knowing that you kind of have to lay that groundwork down to make the defense honest and to kind of get them cheating up and trying to run downhill. That way you can kind of soften that secondary and soften some of those coverages. But yeah, absolutely. You're in there lobbying. Your coaches, you're lobbying the O-line coach. You're lobbying definitely the coordinator. Hopefully, he's somewhere close to the quarterback coach. kind of whispering in the quarterback's ear a little bit. Yeah, you're darn right. You want to kind of stake your claim before you even get to game day.
Well, for sure. And of course, amongst all of this, when you're winning, you're a lot more tolerant of the other skill set groups, obviously. And so in Mizzou's case, everything seems to be working so well. We talked to Emmanuel Hall post-game, the last two games, after the Florida win and the Tennessee win. And he said after the Florida win, you know, they came out and basically just stated with their defensive sets, we're just going to man on you. Just single man. We're just going to cover you. And that's what we're going to do. And Emmanuel Hall used the word disrespect. That's kind of disrespectful. If that's what you think of Jamon and myself, it's kind of disrespectful. And I mean, when you're a wide receiver and you think you're in the middle of having a great time and you see a team come out and give you that single man on, A, you got to be licking your chops, but B, do you take it as a little bit of disrespect, Brad?
Without question, I do. I take it as a personal challenge. Them knowing and thinking that they can cover me and the rest of our group one-on-one, mano a mano, especially when you start going down the rosters. You know, we're all 6'2", 3'4", and above. We run, you know, 4'5", 4'4", 4'3", and with the smaller defensive backs thinking that they can run with us, that they can jump with us, that they can outcompete us for the ball, I think that is, I mean, it's a general slap in the face and almost a challenge. I dare you to throw it. I dare you to beat us in this manner. And more often than not, you know, you're going to get beat. And the fatigue factor sets in and they make mistakes and they start guessing and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's what we're seeing. Really not only in, you know, with Mizzou games, but all across the country. These teams that are going, man, they're experiencing a little bit of season fatigue. And they're not able to sustain that man-to-man defense over the course of this later season.
Yeah, and you were lucky enough when you played. You were here for several Brad Smith years, and then you transitioned into a Chase Daniel year, and so you got to operate in that offense. And the big change obviously that occurred there with Brad's senior year and into Chase's sophomore year, but you know. What is the difference when these guys go out there with Drew Locke back there, who's got all those intangibles and the draft hype has started a little bit and all of those things, but he's got all those intangibles for a pocket passer. When you're a wide receiver in that offense, like what kind of boost does that give you instead of necessarily having a guy who's going to break it down, pull it down and run? Not saying that what Brad did was bad, because we all love Brad Smith, but you know, right. When you get what's the difference when you go to run that route, knowing you got that NFL caliber guy back there getting ready to rifle it to you?
And that's what it is. You have more of a confidence and a know-how. You know, I kind of saw a little bit of that too. So I had Brad for 3 years, and then I had Chase his first year and his first it's actually his true sophomore year, but it was his first full year of back there gunslinging. And the transition that we had to make was to know for sure that when we run our route, the ball's coming out. And it's not just, oh, well, Brad will look to his first, you know, the first route and maybe make it to the second route before he had to tuck it and run it. Chase was looking at the first read, second read, third read, and then sometimes he's even gambling and he sees something in defense and he's coming straight at you. So really all four, or maybe even all five of those routes are live or are hot. So you got to run them. You're running them with the expectation you're going to get the ball. And if you don't, he wants you to run at full speed anyway, because we're going to get right back into that set and hoping that the defense gets right back into their formation because he sees another hole, you know, or he's coming back to you because he knew that you were open on that. Or he would tell you from series to series, hey, we're coming right back to that set. Run the same route. Make it look like this again because I'm coming right back at you. Well, that's the kind of football IQ that we were working with, and I would say that Locke is the same way. I would say that Coach Heupel is the same way. You know, seeing things and taking notes from series to series will allow you future success.
Now, as we transfer from a little bit of the Wayback Machine talk to this current team, just as you take in these games, Brad, and you've seen the struggles, the Missouri State track meet, and then the losses kind of mounting, then the two non-con games that got things turned around, and then two SEC victories, through everything, what's your kind of general takeaway? I mean, this team is now on the verge of bowl eligible. It's ready to, you know, try and accomplish something that five, six games into the season, absolutely no one thought was possible. What's your takeaway right now with two left to play?
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, I'm sure you've heard it all year, it's the tale of two halves or tale of two seasons or whatever tipping point it was, you know, getting back to some of those guaranteed wins, quote unquote. Really what I see is just the maturation of a program. You're going to have hard times this season. You're going to have good times in the season. We just happen to do it really in reverse. You know, generally a lot of teams will see the harder schedules toward the back when they get into conference play and get into, you know, kind of positioning for their spot in their division and all that kind of stuff. Maybe it's just a luck type thing too, that we're in the East and you got programs like Tennessee and Florida and Vandy and Arkansas, you know, not doing as well as they usually do. But we happen to be trending up at this time. You got an offense that's really confident. You got a defense who's stable, I guess you could say. They're not as leaking as leakful, if that's even a word, as they were. I think that's what it is. You know, you're somewhat healthy. You're spirited. Now you have something to play for. You know, you mentioned a bowl game. You start to think about all these things. And really what it is the young guys in the program are not only playing for themselves, but they're trying to play for the program now. They're looking forward to, you know, finishing out this year, but then also next year. You know, they know how to play Florida now. They know how to play Tennessee now. And it's not as much of an allure anymore, but it's cold hard facts and it's cold hard film that they can draw from and build upon. So mentally they're almost winning the game before they get there. I think that's really the biggest thing. You know, the weight room and the football and all that will take care of itself. But I think that mental part of going out there with that winners and that killers mentality now of I'm going to go out and execute instead of, oh, I think that this might work. It's I'm going to go out and do my job knowing that we've done it last week and the week before and it's produced wins. So I really see the biggest shift is mentally in how they're approaching the game from week to week.
Winning programs who constantly win have a tradition of winning. Programs that are up and down, it feels to me like those down years forge new leaders. And you know, when you've been through the bottom, when you can see the top within reach, it makes you that much stronger, that much more forged out of steel. You know, is that true? And how useful will last year and this year be for the young guys who are going to be the leaders over the next couple of years?
Yeah, you're hitting it right on the head. I mean, those guys are the ones that either be by default or by production are going to have to step up. You know, a lot of that is made from week to week in the season, but honestly, it comes down to the production, the habits, the work ethic, the attitude, all those little things that, again, you have to decide on before you get there that's going to separate a few guys from the others. Those are your captains. Those are probably your starters. Those are your newly found starters and playmakers. Those guys don't get it just because of their talent. They don't just show up and do that. A lot of them put in hard work, and a lot of them will turn the corner in their mind, which allows their body to follow. So I think that the more and more coaches feed into that, the more and more the sports psychology department, the different academic advisors, really that whole like total person program, that whole village approach to supporting guys like that, will enable more and more of those guys to step up. I mean, it's a natural progression to think that older guys are going to be those guys. But honestly, a lot of young guys, I play with young guys who are just as good, you know, that freshmen come in and splash. It's coming in with a mindset of I've got to go out and get it. And I've got to pull my weight to do that. And they're looking across to the next guy and saying, you know what, you got to pull your weight to get it too.
Talking with Brad Ekwu of Missouri Tiger fame out there as a wide receiver and joining us on the Closers every Friday. Brad, as we get you out of here on a Friday afternoon and get you ready for a Saturday evening game at Nashville against Vandy, I've got 8.5. If I had to go online for entertainment purposes only, and at least I get to use my own checkbook. I don't have to hand it over to George this week. I get to use my own. But at 8.5, what are you counseling me on?
You know, I would say that I have a little bit more confidence. I would take the over. Honestly, I have a lot more confidence in a high flying offense. I don't think Vandy has the offensive firepower at this stage in the game I think they're a program, you know, it's obviously in a weird position. I think we have more to play for. I think we see a good showing by Mizzou. You're safe, taking the points or more. So, yeah, make it happen. If you lose it, don't come find me, though.
Nah. I just take it out on George. He's a lot more handy. He's a lot closer. So,
yeah, but he'll be able to cover it.
All right, Brad. We appreciate all season long all the insights. You know, we're gonna do this once more for the final game of the season there. But then you know we might have you on once or twice on the way to a bowl game. Bowl game. So maybe that's what's going to happen. So thanks.
I like the sound of that.
Thanks for your time all season, Brad, and we'll let you get back to your Friday. Thank you so much.
No doubt. You got it. All right.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we are going to wrap up hour number one. We're going to come back. We'll be back in just a minute.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU. The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Many thanks to our Hour 1 guests on a Fish and Hole Friday here on The Closers. Again, 442-8255. You can be a guest also. We love to chat with our listeners. 442-8255. Jay Binkley from 610 Sports up in Kansas City. Love to have him on and get caught up on the Chiefs once a week. Make sure we know what's going on heading into the weekend. And Brad Ekwu, former Mizzou football player, always a Mizzou Tiger. And he joins us every Friday before home football games to really dive in and get that player's perspective, somebody who's been in the trenches and had to make those decisions as they come. And always good to get his take on things. Always appreciate that. He was there. Man, just think about that. Like, I mean, you know, you caught passes from Brad Smith. You threw passes. You got to throw a couple there. They had the gadget plays. You talked about that a couple weeks ago with him. And then, you know, catching balls from Chase Daniel on his way, on his ascendancy, his sophomore season. So that's pretty good. 4 years, pretty well spent there at Mizzou playing football. And you got to see some good stuff there. So we appreciate him. A reminder, in the second hour, we will have Joe Fisher, the Vandy play-by-play guy. We will have his interview that George and I were able to do, and we will have that for you in the second break or after the first break in the second hour. But we will talk a lot more Mizzou basketball, and hopefully some of y'all out there will join in and help me psychoanalyze myself and figure this out. Sent a couple text messages out to friend of the show, Sam Snelling from Rock M Nation, to get a little bit of extra information that wasn't in his excellent Rock M Takeaways piece. So I've got some extra little tidbits that we're going to use next hour to help decipher and decode what went wrong and where this team, let's talk about what this team is. And I mean this team, today's team, because today's team isn't the preseason team. The team that played Kansas. Today's team isn't this a team that might exist at bragging rights or might exist in the conference slate. This team that you have today that's going to go out Monday and play Emporia State. Let's talk about what this team is, because this is your team. And if you have to get worried about it, if you're going to panic, we should only panic about this team, right? Not about some other team from the past or some other team in the future. I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching here. Maybe you guys got to help me. Maybe you got to rein me back in. 442-8255. We'll be back after the top of the hour with more of The Closers right after this.
And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU. We'll be right back.
Friday evening here on the Closers News Talk 1400 KFRU 1240 KLIK in Jefferson City. I'm Jay Sparks, and I am running the show today here on the Closers. George Young off on assignment, international man of mystery and intrigue, gone. We don't know. Off the radar, off the map somewhere, but probably, you know, I don't know, national security majors. I'm not sure. But after his fashion week yesterday, probably too visible, so had to get away and go get something else out of the way behind the scenes. Big sports night last night. Seems like the forces, the sports gods saved up a little bit this week. Tuesday and Wednesday were kind of slow, not a lot going on. And then, boy, last night, Blues took care of a good Oilers team. And that was a good game. Women's basketball, 82-80 winners. Sophie Cunningham fouled 1.4 seconds to go. Tie ball game after having been down 10. 6 minutes to go. Drains them both. Big baller right there, Sophie Cunningham. Those Celtics, Tramell and I yesterday, we talked a little bit about that Celtics-Warriors game. Warriors on the road, and they fall to the Boston Celtics. People want to make big, grandiose discussions about, does that make the Celtics contenders? Does that mean the Warriors are tarnished? What's going on? It's always that big picture take gets you in trouble, right? You can talk about the game. Celtics played great. Does it mean, do you have to take a season-long take on that? Try and go somewhere with that bigger, dive into the future? Mizzou basketball team, not super happy about it. That 77-59 loss at Utah. They go on the road and take it on the chin in Utah, in Salt Lake City. Not necessarily the best of times out there for this Mizzou men's basketball team. I teased there just a little as we were wrapping up hour number one. Sam Snelling, friend of the show, basketball guru, my basketball guru. Whenever I have college basketball needs, Sam is the one I go to. I shot him a text and I said, okay, Sam, here we go. I want to talk to my listeners about what this team is right now. I want to get on the air and I want to be able to talk to them about what this team is today. What we know about this team right now. Not what they were at Kansas, not what they were with rivals, you know, preseason, not where they'll be for bragging rights, but today, this weekend, as they go into a weekend with their tail between their legs and coach on their case, what is this team? So I asked him, what is your best guess for Mizzou's 2017 rivals class without MPJ? And I understand the domino effect. I get that. Don't 442-8255 me. I just turned that into a verb. I just turned a phone number into a verb. Don't call me up and tell me if we didn't get MPJ, we wouldn't get any of those. I know that. I got that part. But if with the class as is, without Michael Porter Jr. playing, what would our rivals ranking be? What would we still be? Would we be as excited? Would there have been as much hype? Would that Iowa State game have meant as much if it was just, air quotes, just the other four guys plus Cassius? So Sam Snelling, Rock'em Nation, friend of the show, replies back, well, you still have Jonte, who's still a five-star. You still have Tillman, and he had some comps, but These were 2018 comps because he's dialed in there a little bit more right now. But Mississippi State had a five-star and 2 4s, and they were 13th. Wake Forest was 12th with 2 4s and 2 3s. So those must have been pretty high fours there. So he's saying probably about a top 12 class. So if Konzo Martin had assembled the number 13 class in the country instead of the number 3 class in the country, and this team that won 27 games in 3 years had the 12th best recruiting class, where would they be? What would this team be? What the team we have right now, the team that can go play, that played at Utah, what is this team? Think about it a little bit, because everybody's wrapped up in Michael Porter Jr., and I am too. I get it. Michael Porter Jr., it's a mystery. It's being handled strangely. There's stuff going on that we're not being told. And listen, if we know anything about Mizzou athletics, we know they're not getting ahead of a story. The story is going to come to them. For better or for worse, we know that's how it's going to be. So setting that aside, the guys that are out on the court, the guys who can be on the court, who can suit up and play, what is this team right now? Sam's response? Bubble. Probably on the wrong side of the bubble, but still pretty good. Are you happy with that? 442-8255. Get in. Get in and talk to me on here if you got a chance. Are you happy? Is that what you signed up for? Because when Konzo was hired, we didn't know the rest of it. If Konzo was hired and we got 3 games in with a 2-1 record with the guys on the court and a really good basketball mind, a really good projector of basketball talent, says bubble team, probably outside looking in, but still pretty good. Is that what you signed up for? I'm still trying to decide. I don't know. I don't know. The way they played last night, bad shooting nights. There is not enough lipstick in the world for a pig when you shoot poorly. When you are clanking threes, when you are missing up close, when you are fouling, all of the things that they were doing poorly were things that were really bad optics. And I mean really bad optics. So it stung a little more maybe than it would have. I mean, if it was other things, if it was second chance points, if they had just hit the offensive glass and they just killed you on second chance points and you lose by 7, 6, 8 points, single digits, but you shot kind of how you shot all year. Your assist to turnover ratio was kind of how it was all year. All those things were kind of how it was, but they just cleaned up on the offensive glass, all kinds of putbacks. You'd probably take it because it's not a thing that's as optical. It doesn't look as bad as clang, clang. And it's hard to watch when you're so invested. Mizzou fans are always, they invest. And they as often as they want to jump off the cliff, they want to jump into Scrooge McDuck's treasury. They want to jump into the pile of gold coins as often as they want to jump off the cliff. Mizzou fans don't do things halfway. Everything is in the deep end with Mizzou fans. And so when the optics are bad, it's that much more of an impetus to get in the deep end. But it's not Scrooge McDuck's treasury. It's off the cliff usually. And man, last night was, whoo, Twitter was a fire with all kinds of hot takes. And I don't really know. I did try not to join in. For one thing, I was covering the women's game, and it was great to see Mizzou Arena rocking and rolling, people cheering, and that those Mizzou jerseys out there hustling, overcoming a big 10-point deficit and coming back. Clutch play, big clutch block by Jordan Frerichs. Goes the length of the court, adjusts her shot because of the defender, misses the layup, and the new point guard, Jordan Aldridge, there to clean it up. big, big clutch plays by that Mizzou Tiger ladies team last night. So I was covering that. I didn't get too wrapped up too much because I was busy. And so I'm curious. Is this what you signed up for? If this is your team, and it is today, this is your team. How do you go forward from here if you're Konzo Martin? If you're an SID over there? If you're in the PR department? If you're sitting in my chair? If you're a fan? If you're sitting in your chair? How do you go forward with this team as is? You got to support them. But that investment level, something we're all invested in right now too is Mizzou football. Mizzou football has turned that corner and has paid off. Those who kept their investment level in the Mizzou football team, in Coach Barry Odom and that coaching staff, it's paid off. The turnaround, they've turned the corner and things are looking up. Favored in their last two games for sure. So we will see exactly how invested you want to be. Let's go to the phone lines, 442-8255. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Last night when they were down 23 points at halftime.
Yes, sir.
I just asked the question, what's Konzo going to do at halftime to correct that? And they won the second half. So all Konzo has to do is a little more homework, prepare for the team that he's going to play before halftime, and he'll come right along. It's the same thing that Odom did. He just put a little more work in, and he completely turned the team around. I'm still happy with the Tigers, the men's basketball team, and I'm very happy with the football Tigers. I don't think we got anything to worry about yet. Let's get a few games under our belt, give these kids some chance to play. When you go 12 or 13 down the bench, something's got to go right.
Yeah, very much so, sir, and thank you so much for the call. That is one of the more reasoned Mizzou fan calls we've probably ever received. And thank you for the call. But no, that's it. I think that's it. You're seeing it. You're seeing it on the football. You're seeing it on the gridiron. You're seeing those upsets, those uncertainties. The fans, are they invested? Are they not? You're seeing it play out on the football in a way that might kind of rival what this basketball team is going to go through over the next few weeks, month or so, depending on MPJ's injury and whatnot. So just fascinating. And I'm always curious, like I said, the level of investment. So on the football side of things, Vandy is the opponent Saturday night in the quest for a bowl game. Mizzou wins, they're bowl eligible. No one really, honestly, thought that was coming down the pike a month or so ago. But here we are. And we will talk to Joe Fisher from the Vandy. He's the play-by-play guy for their radio network. We will talk to him about Vandy's perspective on the game. And we will play that right when we come back.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hour number two rolling merrily along here on the Closers. Fish and Hole Friday, News Talk 1400 KFRU, KLIK 1240 down in Jeff City, and 442-8255. I thank you to the caller earlier for calling in and giving your very reasoned, very reasonable take on this Mizzou basketball team after last night's 77-59 defeat at the hands of the Utah Utes, these two Utes. As you look at the rest of the schedule, obviously football is tomorrow. 6:30 is the kickoff time, or at least coverage time, probably 6:35, 6:36 for kickoff. at that game in Nashville. Mizzou at Vandy tonight in about an hour and 15 minutes. Mississippi State volleyball here at Mizzou. So Mizzou volleyball getting ready to wrap up their season. They have three home matches to wrap it up. Actually, that might be, let me take that back. That one's probably away. I think that one is away. And then there's three straight matches to wrap it up. So this is what you get for last minute. Yep, at Mississippi State. My apologies. They're back on Sunday, though. They'll be back to start that three-game set. Arkansas, Alabama, and Florida. So Sunday, Wednesday, next Saturday. Next Saturday, that big season-ending home match against number four-ranked Florida. So we will have Coach Wayne Kreklo on this next week to talk a little bit about his season, getting ready to wrap up RPI and those kinds of things as they head into play after that. Last night in action over at Columbia College, the Eutectics of St. Louis College of Pharmacy came men's and women's. Columbia College's women's team, 95-56 winners. And they will play again tomorrow at Stevens College. So an away game, but still here in Columbia at Stevens College. It is an AMC game, American Midwest Conference. For the men, they went 102-64 over the St. Louis College of Pharmacy Eutectics. And then they are off until next Tuesday when they host Missouri Valley College, a non-conference match there. Now, the big news over at Columbia College right now, the men's and women's soccer team hosting opening round playoff matches for NAIA. Tomorrow at 1, the ladies will kick off against Siena Heights University from Michigan. And then when that game concludes, I think the tentative time is about 5 p.m., but the tentative time for the men's game will be after that. The University of Northwestern Ohio comes a calling, and both of those matchups at R. Marvin Owens Stadium, there for R. Marvin Owens Field, soccer field there on the Columbia College campus. Tons of stuff going on, tons of things to take your mind off of everything else that went on last night. Not that you guys are all wrapped up. Not that you're wrapped up on, you know, what's going on last night. Not anything that last night happened that would make you guys, you know, weirded out or panic in some way. Chiefs fans, we had Jay Binkley on today. Steelers, Patriots in the driver's seat. Steelers already took care of their Week 11 opponent, the Titans, last night, 40-17. And, ooh, boy. That was quite a game. Patriots have the Raiders, so you know, you what do you do there? You obviously root for the Raiders, even if it brings them a little closer, you know, in the AFC West. You got to root for the Patriots to take a tumble somewhere along the way. In the NBA tonight, see if there's any marquee matchups that you'd want to look at. So the Cavaliers hosting the Clippers. The Suns, who absolutely took a torching last night, go to L.A. to take on the Lakers. Trailblazers and Kings, Pelicans and Nuggets late night. Thunder and Spurs. That's a good that's one of those ones that you're probably going to see that somewhere in the playoffs. That's a playoff preview right there. But NBA, NFL slate, again, the Blues won in a good solid match, good solid game last night. Coach Yowen has that group really, really dialed in. You've seen some of the instability there. You've seen it not go, you know, no team's going 82-0. I hate to break it to you, but you know, they've had some ups and downs recently, but you still see the inherent value, the inherent talent and the coaching of that team and how good they are. So still a very positive hockey season to be played there in St. Louis this year. So like that, and like the way it is shaping up for them in the NHL. Tons of stuff going on. Always good to take a look around and see what's going on. Really, 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 if you have a chance, if the weather holds, looks nice tomorrow, get out there and support Columbia College men's and women's teams. That's playoff soccer happening right in your own backyard. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to come right back to wrap up hour number two on a Fishing Hole Friday right after this.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Friday, Friday, Friday. It is Friday evening. We're about ready to get you out of here. Hour number two wrapping up of the Closers. And we are going to get out of here with our big thank you segment here. We're going to say thanks to Jay Binkley from 610 Sports for coming on and talking all things Chiefs. Love having Jay on, and hopefully we see the linemen and the Rockettes. That would be pretty awesome to see, to catch a bunch of 5 320-pounders plus out there Rocketting it up in the end zone. Of course, that also means that they've probably scored a couple rushing touchdowns, so that's a good thing. Also, thanks to Brad Ekwu, former Mizzou football player, always a Tiger. Glad to have Brad join us as he does during the football season to preview what goes on with the Mizzou football team. And he said, so since I'll get my checkbook out here, he went ahead and he told me, you should just go ahead and make that 8.5 for entertainment purposes only. He was not scared of Mizzou giving up 8.5 on the road. Whew. Home dog in the SEC. Well, I don't know how the tables have turned there. But Brad Ekwu, thank you so much for joining us as you have all season. And we'll talk to you a couple more times before that bowl game. That's right. Bowl game. Mizzou going bowling this year. Also, Joe Fisher from Vanderbilt play-by-play. Sorry, Joe. Apologize. Love having you on. And you're not on right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and say, yeah, we're probably going to – I hope Mizzou blows out that 8.5 there in Vanderbilt. Also, thanks to Sam Snelling for taking my tweets today or my text messages today and replying back with some really good Mizzou basketball info to keep me grounded in my time of troubles. I'm Jay Sparks. George Young off on assignment today, international man of mystery and intrigue. He'll probably be back on Monday. And if I haven't said it this week, filling in for George, please be careful out there.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.